Shalom and Merry Christmas,
precious saints of God.
I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and welcome to the news portion of our program. As you probably know by now, I try to stick to news stories that directly or indirectly affect Israel. Well, tonight is no exception, as a massive three-day winter storm slammed Jerusalem with over 2 feet of snow last weekend, and that's a rarity for any snow. And mind you, many Christians and Muslim Catholics, they actually pray each year for some snow for the holidays. Well, not only did they get some of the white stuff, they actually got way too much. So much so that they even ran the trains on the Sabbath to help those who were stranded trying to escape the worst of the storm. Thousands of homes were without power, many for over 48 hours as fallen trees were snapping lines. Jerusalem was virtually cut off from the rest of the country. Black ice was a major threat, and the public was warned to refrain from driving as so many cars were stuck and abandoned. Even the military were called in to aid the situation. Today, however, everyone in Jerusalem is breathing a sigh of relief now that the storm has passed. Well, it seems Jerusalem is in the news a lot these days, and according to Zechariah's prophecy, will continue and probably even more so as we get closer to Jacob's trouble, when all hell will break loose, literally. We who follow prophecy have been witnessing many foreshadows, not just in the obvious signs, but also the meetings and many somewhat secret agreements that are taking place behind closed doors. For those of you who have done even just a little research in church history, is quite aware that the Vatican has always desired to control Jerusalem, hence the Crusades, aided by the Knights Templar, and even the Hospitallers, but not to much avail. The Ottomans controlled it for 400 years, and then the British, who labeled it no man's land, had it until finally Israel was granted statehood in 1948, probably due to the Holocaust. But even still, Jerusalem was controlled by Jordan until the Six-Day War in 1967. What a jubilee that was! They had won sovereignty over Jerusalem, Gaza, and the Golan Heights. However, they wanted to please the Muslims, and so continued to allow Jordan to rule it until 1988, when Jordan ceded the West Bank to the Palestinian Liberation Organization, led by, you know who, the old Mr. Arafat. Then came the peace treaty of 1993 between Israel and the PLO, also called the Oslo Accords because it was negotiated and signed in Oslo, Norway, which opened the road for Jordan to proceed on its own negotiating track with Israel. And in 1994, Jordan's King Hussein met with Israeli Prime Minister Rabin, who was later assassinated. But they met at the White House and signed their own peace deal, which is still in place today. So although the PLO runs the Temple Mount, Israel could, if it chose to, take that privilege away. But they never will, due to probable Muslim backlash. But back to the Vatican and the Pope. And from what I have pieced together, the Vatican was promised back in 1993 a big hand in what happens to Jerusalem. Israel expected an apology for their part in helping the Nazis in the Holocaust and the centuries-old anti-Semitism, and try to mend the church's attitudes toward the Jews, which, by the way, they have over the years. The popes have apologized. And in fact, they're pretty cordial. Just last week, Mrs. Netanyahu said recently that she couldn't wait for the pope's arrival in May, and how excited she was. Now, I don't know everything or even a smidgen of anything in comparison to what probably is really going on behind the scenes. But according to WorldNet Daily, and probably part of this so-called peace deal, the Vatican will be playing a pretty major role
and who gets control over Jerusalem, especially the Temple Mount. But it appears that Israel will not maintain its sovereignty, but refuse to give it to the Muslims. So what do? Wow, they had a great idea. They'll just give it to Rome. Yes, they are the clay and will mix together with the iron. And everything's just going to be rosy. Oh, maybe the Romans feel bad for destroying the Jews' temple in 70 AD, and they want to help them replace it. Sure. And I have been saying that for years, that the Vatican once again will rule Jerusalem. A kind of history repeats itself thing. Oh, but they'll say it's international. Well, one thing I know for sure, you can bet there will be a new temple. But whose is it really for, this temple? Daniel 9:27 tells us, and that's our topic for tonight. So stay tuned. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, Shalom Chavarim, which means blessed be the name of the Lord, peace to our friends. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. You'll definitely need your Bible, pen, and paper tonight to take some notes, as you students will enjoy the remaining hour of learning God's Word on eschatology. But first, as we always do, we'll start with a prayer. Abba, we are grateful to you, and we bless you for your eternal salvation and deliverance from the coming wrath. And your salvation, we know personally. And your salvation has a name, and that's Yeshua. And he's our Savior that you gave to us. Father, we ask you to open the ears of our listeners to the understanding of your word, particularly in this subject tonight, the Acharit Hayamim, the last days. And we lift up all the prayer requests also that came in this week. Please, we just need you, Lord, in a way, especially these days, to save our family members, our children, and our parents as well. And there are many that are struggling financially, emotionally, and they're your children, Lord. We just ask them. We just lift them up to you tonight. Bless them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Keep them in your word. Keep them close. And, of course, finally, I want to pray for Israel's salvation, complete, and the peace of Jerusalem, the real peace, Lord, the peace that you're going to bring. In the name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen, and thank you, John, and shalom, shalom to you. Just want to remind the listeners that the phone lines are open. Should anyone have a comment or an end-time question, the number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
And if you don't want to be on the air, that's okay. You can tell our happy producer, Derek, and he'll just relay the message to us.
Remember, all these radio teachings are archived on the webpage with labeling, so you can go and glean much information.
Hey, and it's free as well. You don't have to feel guilty about taking it.
That's right. No computer? All libraries are equipped and will assist you if you need help.
Or maybe you have a friend or family member that has a computer and knows how to get on the Internet. I'm sure they'd be happy to download any of our programs on a CD for you. And, of course, we don't copyright, so you're welcome to use all the material you need to use and pass it along to as many people as you need to do. And we ask you to please do that. Okay, well, this week we're going to be finishing up that fantastic prophecy in the book of Daniel, in the chapter 9, in verses 24 through 27, very pivotal part of the Bible that a lot of the end-time prophecy rests on this.
And it definitely does, but again, it is a little difficult if you don't, you know, have some help. That's what I say.
I know.
I had help to understand it.
And so did I, and I'm still getting help to understand it. It's not that hard, except that we live in an age where we are constantly distracted from studying the Word of God.
Oh,
and some of us have harder time concentrating than others. And we really have to shut off all those things that are going on around
us
and focus in.
Focus is the word.
Focus is the word.
That's right. Now, we're going to be doing a lot of repeating tonight, though, because I think it's necessary for this prophecy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it does contain some absolutely astounding information. And, you know, prior to probably even just 100 years ago, a little more than that, they never understood Daniel.
Really?
I mean, it was very difficult. In fact, he even said it would be until the end
times. Until the end times. And I do, this is really an amazing prophecy, precision. I mean, the prophecy fulfilled with precision and all written in advance. And you can prove that, too.
That's right. And it, you're right. It is a solid argument for those who don't think the scriptures were God ordained.
Yeah, it's that, too.
You know, they it describes each consecutive empire hundreds of years before it happens. This is beyond human capabilities. And then, as we said last week, it is confirmed by the Septuagint also, which is the translation of the Hebrew into Greek. So some critics, because of its accuracy, do say that Daniel had to be written after the fact. But because of this, they lose that argument.
Yeah, because the Septuagint was all, it's all verified, and that that was translated around 285 B.C.
Somewhere in there.
And, of course, now they wouldn't have known all this was going to happen, right?
That's right, but God did.
Mm-hmm.
And he just planned it all out that way because he knew that there would be skeptics that would try to disprove it. So he had it all copied in the Septuagint. I just think even that is just awesome and amazing. What a God we serve.
Amen.
And no other book, by the way, than Daniel has been as vindicated by history that followed it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing.
Well, let's see. As you said last week, when Alexander the Great went to conquer Jerusalem, and that was about 330 B.C., the high priest of Jerusalem actually came out and showed Alexander, and before his army was attacking, obviously, showed Alexander the references that could only be talking about him. They're very descriptive. And Alexander the Great understood that. And understood that he was in it, and he knew that this was written hundreds of years before he and his army showed up there. And that's in Daniel's chapters 8 through 11. And so because of that prophecy, or him being in the prophecy, and it blew his mind, is what I've got to say. Yeah. And so he spared Jerusalem.
That's right. Can you just think what he was thinking, like, oh, I ain't touching that Jerusalem after all. No.
Well, when somebody to take the Bible and show you, here's you in the Bible, and here's your name, you know,
Of course, the ultimate authentication.
Yes.
Is Jesus himself, and he quotes from Daniel. He calls Daniel a prophet, and he admonishes and holds the Jews accountable to know his writings. He admonishes the people.
So why shouldn't we have to know his writings as well?
I know. If he was here, he would be admonishing the church for not studying prophecy. I know he would.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it.
Let's do it then.
Of course, this is really what makes me so sad, is when I hear church people say they don't study the prophets or even want to.
I know.
It's just awful.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to remind you, listeners, that you can listen to last week's program to catch up.
Yeah.
If you are unfamiliar with the events surrounding Daniel and how he was kidnapped by Nebuchadnezzar and taken to Babylon, etc., that's all laid out in a nice form.
Yeah, we did a good job then.
Yeah.
Last week on that, I think. So, again, let's go over Daniel 9:24-27. I'll try to do it easily, like adding my own words first so you can get a better feel for what is being said in the Bible.
Okay. And everyone has their Bible open. I'm sure you have your pencil and paper.
The Daniel 9.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 24, he says that it's going to take like 490 years to accomplish these things. Okay. To finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Now, we know that this is going to be finished when Jesus rules and reigns.
Mm-hmm.
So he says it's going to be like 70 weeks, which is 490 years. Now, we know 490 years has already passed. So we have to realize that there was a stopping of the clock for the church age, which we're going to be explaining. And then the clock starts ticking again when the church is gone. It's just very simple. That's why we have to leave.
Very, very much so, yeah.
Okay. Now you go on to verse 25, and it actually tells you when this period will begin. And Sir Robert Anderson is that guy's name that really figured it out.
Well, you had his book, right?
I did.
Yeah, and you still do, I think, somewhere.
Somewhere.
It was, he figured this out, by the way, 119 years ago.
Yeah, and that was probably when they started to understand it.
Yes.
I'm guessing, but, you know, I wasn't there. But anyway.
So late, pretty late in our in time, as far as biblical times going. Pretty late, pretty close to the end of things before this knowledge is finally out there.
That's right. And that's what Gabriel told Daniel.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get it, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's for the last days. Yeah.
So verse 25 just basically says when it's going to begin. And when it begins is when the third decree of the king of the Persian Empire, which was Artaxerxes, when he said that the Jews could go home and finish what they had already started during Ezra's time and rebuild the city walls, not just the temple. And you can read about this in Nehemiah 2, 5, and 8. But this is when that decree started, and that started the clock.
That started the clock, okay.
And that was Nisan 1, which is the Jewish calendar, which is around our March in 445 B.C. Now, until the Messiah would show up, would be exactly 69 biblical, well, they're always biblical, 69 weeks of years, biblical years. And just in case somebody out there is doing the math, that's 173,880 days. Coming to Nisan 10, which is Palm Sunday in 32 A.D., when he did present himself as king. In fact, it was the only day that he allowed them to worship him as king, the only day.
And that day we call Palm Sunday now, right?
That's right. So, again, verse 24 tells everything that's going to end up being finished.
There's six things there, yeah.
And verse 25 tells you when it's going to begin. Okay? Now we're on to verse 26.
Okay.
Okay, so he comes in on Palm Sunday, and still in that same week, 69, the Messiah was killed or cut off, but not for himself. And, of course, that's for us. Then later, the temple in the city will be destroyed, and we know that was by the Romans, and the Jews were dispersed, or the diaspora, or some people say it was like a flood. They left so fast, that type of thing. Now, he also says that a ruler, or it's called a prince. And don't forget, there's the prince of darkness. Okay? Jesus is the prince of light, and this other guy is the prince of darkness. And I know that most people know him as the Antichrist. He will come from the same people of those who destroyed the temple in 70 A.D. That is very plain there. It will be the same people.
So if it was the Romans then, it will be the Romans at this point.
That's right. Some will say the Roman Empire, because that's pretty vast and it gives you more choices.
Yes, it does. Gives you a lot of countries to pick from.
That's right. And some will say, well, he's even going to be a Muslim because, you know, Turkey was part of the Roman Empire and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, the more I study, the more I see how exact God is.
Yeah.
And it was a Roman that burnt that temple down. I got a feeling it'll be a Roman again.
I do, too.
But, you know, we won't be here, thank goodness, so we won't have to look at it. But that's my guess. But let's go on.
Okay.
Now, in verse 27, we see that this leader, the Antichrist, will confirm a military treaty with many, and I believe that to include the international countries and Israel. This will be for that last and 70th week of Daniel's 490-year prophecy. That confirmation of this treaty will start the 7 years.
Okay.
Clock ticking.
And we know what those 7 years are.
That's right. But in the middle of the 7 years, or middle of the week of 7 years, the Antichrist abominates the temple. But at the end of the week, he will be made desolate. He'll be bye-bye.
So that's at the end of the 7 years.
That's right. So what we see is a time lapse, what I call the mystery church, between verse 26 and verse 27 when he signs the treaty of 2,000 years.
Well, that's a long time. And so it's kind of a gap period. And we know now that the church was a mystery. It was hidden in the Old Testament or the Tanakh scriptures.
Yeah, never mentioned.
Never mentioned, but by its absence, it made you question the scriptures. You know, there's something missing here. And
exactly, because like in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born." Okay, that's the baby Jesus. Son is given. But then it says the government will be on his shoulder. Well, we know that didn't happen.
Not right after he was born.
No, it's certainly not.
And it's not going to happen. And we believe, of course, we're talking about Yeshua here. It's not going to happen until he rules and reigns from Jerusalem in the millennium.
So in that one verse, we see over 2,000 years.
Yeah, we've discussed this before. There are many gaps in prophecy.
Yes.
And what's not there is just as important as what is there.
That's right. And I thought maybe we could give a couple more this week.
Okay. Because we gave a lot last week, I think.
Oh, well, I think we only gave one.
Oh, we only gave one? Well, maybe we were
talking. If I remember correctly.
Maybe you and I were talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I think so, because I like Psalm 118, verse 22. Maybe you could read that.
Okay, I got it here. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, when the builders rejected, it is talking about Yeshua, when he came, it says he was rejected.
That's right.
Isaiah says that.
And they killed him.
They killed him. They put him on a cross and crucified him. And now he's become the chief cornerstone.
He will become.
And he will become. He is not yet the chief cornerstone.
And so what do we see here? In one verse, we see it's a time span of how long?
Probably 2,000 years or close to.
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly. So, and I'm just showing this to people so they can see this gap that's in this Daniel 9, 24 through 27. It's very important that you
recognize you understand that there are gaps, and this is not peculiar. This is not.
Otherwise, they will believe some of the other theories of, like, preterists, you know, who think this all happened with the Romans. They don't see that gap there at all.
Well, right.
So and, it's important.
And, of course, it did. You know, this stuff happened with the Romans. All these prophecies have at least two fulfillments.
Exactly. History repeats itself. That's what Solomon said. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything has been here before.
That's true. Except us. Okay. Let's
Here, can I pick?
Yeah, you had another one.
Isaiah 61, verse 2.
Okay, let me just turn to that right now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And let me just stop right there, because that's where Yeshua stopped when he was reading that in the synagogue. And in Luke 4, you can find this. And then he stopped.
Yes,
before the end of the verse.
Yes, he did.
He rolled up the scroll and he said, "Well, that's just been fulfilled in your eyes today."
That was fulfilled, the rest wasn't.
And the rest wasn't. And what was the rest? And the day of vengeance of our God. That hasn't been fulfilled yet, and that's coming. So there's a huge gap there.
Again, same thing for the church age to be birthed and then to be taken in the rapture. God focuses attention back on Israel to finish that last 70th week of Daniel. It's really, once you understand it, and it doesn't happen right away, you've got to, like, read it a few times.
Yes.
But once you understand what it's saying, it's just...
Well, listeners, you know, if you pray before you read, thank God for the scriptures, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
And then thank him for his spirit that he's put inside of you that's leading you into the truth, and ask him to help you to understand. And be patient.
That's right. Let's do one more gap before we take a break, okay? Let's look at Revelation 12. Go to the New Testament now, verses 5 and 6.
Okay, here's a New Testament gap there. She bore a male child.
Talking about Israel.
Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne.
Now, who was that?
That would be Yeshua. That would be our Savior. Sure.
Of course.
Then the woman... Who's Israel, right?
Yep.
Fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay?
So, he was caught up to heaven,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then we see the woman fleeing to the wilderness. Well, if you know the Bible, you know Matthew
24:16
says that's what they're going to do. That's during the tribulation. So we see a gap there, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So now here's a trivial question for you, John. Since the church was a mystery in the Old Testament,
uh-huh.
and we see these gaps, why is this a gap in the New Testament?
Well,
when we're not a mystery anymore.
We're not a mystery anymore, but now Israel comes in. This is when Israel is all the prophecies of Israel will be fulfilled, right?
Right. Actually, the church is gone.
The church is gone, so we go to what I call temple times.
Yeah. I just think it's pretty interesting how, you know, Revelation, it just points out to the fact that we can't be here.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We have to leave.
We have to leave.
It's going to take place, but yeah, it's in the New Testament because we've already been raptured.
That's right.
Amen.
Very good.
And one more thing about gaps. There are also some 1,000-year gaps,
mm-hmm.
but they are between resurrections.
Hmm.
The first and the last, the great white throne.
Okay, can you give me an example of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Daniel 12, mm-hmm. Verse 2, I think, is one. Look that up.
Okay. Okay, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake,
yes.
some to an everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Where's the gap?
That's right. Well, first of all, if you didn't realize that there's a gap after the righteous resurrection
oh.
and the great white throne resurrection, it's at the end of the millennial kingdom. You see there's a 1,000-year gap there.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay?
Gotcha.
So I think just being aware of that will help, you know, people when they're reading the Bible, too.
Okay.
And that's just another reason why we have to know the whole Bible.
That's right.
You know, just have to.
So there's this big gap we've seen between week
yes.
69
yes.
and week 70, and it's a gap of?
The church age is 2,000 years.
2,000 years.
Right.
Okay.
So let's take a little break, and when we come back, we will go over this again. Just in case somebody else doesn't understand it, sometimes if you hear it again, they will.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we haven't done your song in a while, and people have been asking when we're going to play it again.
Yeah, they do. They ask.
So I thought we would do it today.
Okay. Well, let's roll that.
And okay.
Stay with us.
Right.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord. And make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. as one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky, and when I leave this earth, oh Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky, and with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Thanks for staying with us, and thanks for listening to that song. That was by yours truly, and I praise the Lord for that song, because
that's the best song you've ever done. I love that song.
Everyone says that, and one of the miracles about it is I recorded it on a handheld recorder.
And, that's amazing.
I couldn't get any help from anyone else to record it, so I did all the parts myself, and that was amazing in itself, and then it came out as good as it did. So it's a good song, and it's about a subject that is near and dear to me, and that is the rapture.
Of course.
And we might be in a generation that won't have to die. Now, that's something.
Oh,
that's something to sing about.
That's, like, awesome.
I know. That's something to sing about.
It's something to sing about. You got
sure
that
is.
Right.
And let's see. Oh, got to mention, your donations are vital to keeping this End Times ministry on the air, and your donations are still tax-deductible. So if you like this program and if you're being blessed and learning from our teachings, please consider being a contributor of any gift or even perhaps a monthly sponsor. And if you would like Sheila to speak at your church or your group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And you can take those donations, and I'll tell you where to send them. Please send them to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email or house address. Okay? And you can also call us tonight.
Yes, you can pledge anything you'd like.
Pledge anything you like. That number is 888, this is toll free, by the way, 888-677-WORD, and just give all your information to our producer, Derek, and he'll be happy to take it, okay? And all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on shofarministries.net, and you can get recorded teachings there as well. Okay? Well, I mentioned the phone, so I won't do it again.
That's right. And remember the first Friday of every month?
Oh, yeah, forgot that.
Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, and begins at 7 with great Messianic worship.
Well, not exactly. It begins with something else.
The blowing of the shofar.
Exactly. And you do that.
By yours truly.
Yes.
All right, let's get back to our study tonight.
Okay,
time just goes so fast, John.
It does. It is going too fast tonight. I agree.
All right, let's recap. Daniel received one of the most amazing visions ever given to man. This vision of the 70 weeks of years foretold to the precise day when the Messiah would be presented as king. And we know that's Palm Sunday. And then he was rejected and cut off, killed that same week. And then this prophecy looks forward about 2,000 years to his second coming to set up his everlasting kingdom.
Yeah, and it's an unusual prophecy because the time element for his first coming is given so specifically and clearly. Hard to miss.
Yes, especially in verse 26 where it says the Messiah will die not for himself,
but obviously for us.
Yeah, it actually says that he will die, but not for himself.
That's right. So, again, verse 24 mentions those six things that have to be done, which won't be done until Jesus sets up his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 25 says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem," that would have been the third one, when the city walls would be finished, mm-hmm. and that was fulfilled when Artaxerxes, in 445 B.C.,
mm-hmm.
and again, Nehemiah 2, 5 through 8 tells you that.
And that's why we know the precise date for that, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so from that decree until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the reason that he splits it up is because it took 49 years or 7 weeks of years to actually finish the walls.
I see.
So there's a separation there. But if you just add up the two, it adds to 69.
Mm-hmm.
"When the street shall be built again and the wall again accomplished under Nehemiah and even in troublesome times." And they had troubles.
Read all about it in Nehemiah and Ezra.
That's right. Then verse 26, again, took 7 weeks to build the walls. And then after the 62 weeks, so you add, it's 69, the Messiah shall be cut off. Speaking of the cross again, mm-hmm. but not for himself.
Cut off definitely means crucified or killed.
And the clock stops then for the 69-week prophecy and doesn't start up again until the agreement is signed, as we'll see here in verse 27. And the first 40 years of the church age is when the temple is destroyed and the Jews begin to scatter. Still in verse 26. And now this is probably very, very important to understand. You have to kind of take it apart.
The people of the prince to come?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that that originally was the Romans in 70 A.D.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is saying is that the same group of people is where this next prince, and this is the prince of darkness now,
mm-hmm.
that will come, that the Romans originally destroyed the city and the sanctuary. So, again, that was by Titus. He was a Roman in 70 A.D. And it's saying another will come from the same people. That's the Romans.
Romans. So that pretty much blows the theory of him, the Antichrist, being a Muslim, doesn't it? Yeah.
Emphatically not. And next year, though, I'm going to give you a lot more proof that the Antichrist will not just be from the Roman Empire, but there's a good chance that he'll actually reside in Rome.
Woo. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Be sure to tell your friends to tune into that one.
Yeah, we'll have some fun next year.
Oh, man. You hear
well,
all
we're
the...
getting close to the end. I think we ought to know a little bit more than we do.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Anyway, then finishing verse 26, after Jerusalem's temple is destroyed, 70 A.D., the end of it shall be like a flood. That just means many are going to flee fast. And till the end of the war, desolations are determined. In other words, there's going to be wars and much turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the last war, or the last big war, was World War II, finished up with the Holocaust. And there was a lot of turmoil and death.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible time.
Horrible time.
We told them that would happen.
And after the gap period of 2,000 years?
Right. And now we have that church age.
Mm-hmm.
And then it picks up again in verse 27 where it says, "Then he," talking about this prince of darkness, the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
"shall confirm a covenant or make a treaty with many for 1 week."
Mm-hmm.
This is that seven-year treaty with the Jews initiated at the beginning of the tribulation. Okay? And they're working on a peace treaty already.
And when you say with many, what does it mean with many?
International.
Okay, so
everyone's going to be involved
in this. And we see that right now in the news.
Well, they're pushing it, man. And they say they're going to have this peace treaty all together by April. Not necessarily signed yet, but all together in order by April. And they're determined. And it wouldn't surprise me because I know this is coming to fruition here.
It is.
So. But it goes on in verse 27 to say, "But in the middle of the 7 years," which is 3.5 years after the treaty,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the Great Tribulation now, there's the tribulation and the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years and 3.5 years, He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Now, I believe because of Daniel 12, which I don't know that we'll have time to get to, that a month before he does this abomination, sits in the temple and calls himself God,
mm-hmm.
a month before that, he will have actually stopped the sacrifices.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. In other words, Antichrist setting up his own worship there.
I wonder what it means by the wing.
It's something to do with the altar, or either the altar or the wings of the cherubim, like sit right where God would sit.
Yes, like, oh, on the cover of the ark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to...
Kind of speaks of the location where this is going to happen.
So.
The Holy of Holies?
Yes, I think so.
I think so, too.
Even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. In other words, Christ's judgment of the Antichrist at the second coming, casting him into the lake of fire.
So...
Oh, we already discussed. I'm going to talk about it next month, who the Antichrist will be.
Yeah, I know. Everyone wants. Everybody has their own idea, it seems like. Well, Sheila, I see three key portions of this prophecy that in verses 25 and 26 have already been fulfilled. Namely, the issue to, or the decree, I should say, to mm-hmm. go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That's been fulfilled. The precise fulfillment of the exact date of the coming of Messiah. That's what was fulfilled on a, what we call Palm Sunday when he rode into Jerusalem. On Nisan 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nisan 10. And then the cutting off of Messiah, which we call the crucifixion
at
the cross. So those are definitely fulfilled that
I
see.
So now there's only 1 week left, and that's the tribulation period.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to, one more time, and then we're going to try to get into Daniel 12,
mm-hmm.
just recap this.
Okay.
As you see it, John.
Okay. Well, what I'm seeing, that is, like I said, is when our Messiah was cut off at the cross, Daniel's prophetic 70-week clock stopped, leaving its final week unfulfilled.
That's right.
And this will be fulfilled during the tribulation.
That's right.
So, and... Also, the church wasn't revealed in the Tanakh or the Old Testament, which
Daniel
the book of Daniel is in. This, so the mystery of the church age lies somewhere between Daniel's 69th and 70th week.
That's right.
Hmm? And then when the rapture of the church does occur, and it will end the church age
mm-hmm.
and then kick off the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. Okay?
That's right.
Now, Daniel's 70 weeks... will then resume and begin to tick down once again, allowing its last week to be fulfilled by the final 7 years of Earth's secular history. When those days have run their course, all of Daniel's prophecy spoken of in verse 24 should be fulfilled.
That's right. Absolutely. You did well with that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'd like to get into Daniel 12, 11, and 12. Do you think we can make it? You know,
oh, absolutely. I think we could do that.
All right. Please forgive us if we talk fast, but then you can re-listen to it when it gets online.
Okay.
There's the gold nugget of Daniel 12, verses 11 and 12, and it's called the prophecy of the 1335 days.
Okay.
Read that.
All right. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits, and comes to the 1,335 days.
Okay, so we have two things going on here. First of all, that's how I know that the sacrifices will be taken away 30 days before the middle of the tribulation, because it says 1,290 days.
Oh, okay, and so, 35, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But anyway, the closing words of the book of Daniel are really encouraging, because Daniel saw and heard many things from God. And he admits back in verse 8 that he did not understand these things and was told it was for the time of the end. So we know that.
Mm-hmm.
But then given hope someday that the wise would understand.
Well,
between you, John.
That's lucky for us. Well, I shouldn't say lucky. We're very blessed to be in that time where we can understand this.
But the wicked will do wickedly and not understand. And you can't get a truer word than that.
Oh, you betcha.
Now, going into verse 11 and 12, they were somewhat difficult for me until I utilized the Hebraic roots.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time coming soon when the new one world leader will allow the Jews, probably as part of the military treaty, I'm sure, which is made at the beginning of the tribulation, and again, we just talked about that in Daniel 9:27, to once again build the temple in order to conduct the daily sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 12, verse 11, we see that there will also come a time when he will take that privilege away.
Because it will probably become politically incorrect to do that.
That's right. In fact, verse 11 says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set vengeance upon, there shall be 1,290 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how easy that is, because we know there's 1,260 days to the last half of the tribulation. So if he's talking 1,290, that's 30 days into the first half.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so where it says the abomination also is set up, some confusion arrives in that we do not understand what this verse is set up really is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when one looks up the original word, it's Nathan, number 5414, it has a wide latitude of application. But if you look at it with the help of the contextual lexicon, we see that it more likely means to set vengeance upon, to avenge, to give over, to deliver, to hand over to God.
Okay, well that...
So in other words, that's when he's destroyed.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yes, it does. Now, when looking at it this way, we see that Scripture, rather than seemingly contradicting to Matthew and Revelation Scriptures, we can now see it complementing as it should. So verse 11, then, is better read. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
And the time that the daily sacrifices are taken away and the abomination of desolation is avenged is 1,290 days.
Hmm. Okay.
Now, here comes the better part. Knowing that the abomination begins the second half of the tribulation, Daniel 9:27, we can also see that the taking away of the sacrifices must be 30 days prior to that, as we just said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in verse 12, our Lord goes on to tell Daniel that those who are there to see the 1335th day will be blessed.
Why? Yeah, why?
Because they will be part of the kingdom, of course, but also we'll see the completion of the magnificent and probably breathtaking new house of the Messiah called the Millennial Temple that Ezekiel 40 through 48 describes to be finished 45 days after the end of that horrible tribulation.
Now, how did you come to that?
Well, it's
because
you study the feasts of the Lord as well as looking at the biblical calendar and types in the Old Testament. And I have come to the conclusion that since Jesus fulfilled the first four feasts literally, with his first coming, that he must also fulfill the last three with his second coming.
Okay. Well, everyone agrees with that.
Beginning with the rapture of the church, if I am correct, the tribulation will probably begin and end on Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, 45 days later, would fall in the month of Bull, which is the same month that Solomon's temple was finished. So again, history repeating itself.
I see. And then it will be probably dedicated, like Solomon dedicated his temple.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So basically then, it's fitting that Jesus was also brought to the temple on Bull 25 and dedicated to God as well, is what you just said, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
40 days after.
After his birth, in Leviticus 12, 1 through 6, and that's fulfilled there in Luke 2:22.
That's right. And just let me finish this last part because we got to go. It is also likely that the following month of Kislev at the Feast of Hanukkah would be the time of dedication of this new temple, which makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, would not only match the rededication of the second temple after Antiochus Epiphanes defiled it, which is a type of Antichrist, but as we have talked about many times before, Jesus was also incarnated on the eighth day of Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Since history repeats itself often on the same anniversary dates, we can easily see how prophecy is a pattern. Finish it off.
It sure
John.
Is. So, the 1,335 days after sacrifices are taken away, the temple will be finished, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And blessed are those who are there to see it, right? Daniel 12:12. And probably dedicated during Hanukkah. And
that's right. It all fits. It's like connecting the dots, glove in hand, and we've got to go.
Okay. Well, that was quick, but very enlightening, and I'm glad that we were able to do this. Listener, if you have not made Yeshua Lord of your whole life, and you just have the head knowledge of Him, these are the last days now, and you got to realize He wants us, not just part of us. He wants all of us. So
that's right.
Repent fully, and to, in order to do that, we recommend this, that you actually get on your knees, and you could do that right now, and then just tell Him, admit to Him that you are a sinner and that there you have some sins maybe that are keeping you in bondage. And you know what they are. And, of course, you know He knows what they are. And then commit your life or recommit your life. Remember, He's your Savior. And He's Savior of the whole world. And He's merciful. And there's no time like the present. So it's your choice. You know where your soul is eternal, and it has to go somewhere.
And then fulfill that great commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them, wants them as one of His own, for judgment is very near. We're running out of time.
Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember the first Friday of every month. Till then,
Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe.
And that's Psalm 122:6. Until next week, Shalom.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.